I intimated this morning, with the Lord's help, I will call your attention again to the 35th Psalm, in the latter part of the third verse. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. I trust that most, if not all, present here this evening were here with us this morning. The power of the truth expressed in these words is almost beyond our comprehension, that salvation of the soul is the priority of real Christians. Those that are born again of God are given to realize that, yes, the Lord has done wonders for us in temporal things. Our bodies are a living testimony of God's wisdom and God's power. And He created us in the beginning and gives to us those facilities that are so essential to our progress in this life here below. And we realize more and more as we get older, when things begin to wane and fail with us, what a great blessing has been our experience, even from our youthful years. And we realize that God has, in His wisdom, determined that we should not stay here forever, but that our bodies are but tabernacles, temporary dwelling places, until God's will and purpose for us and through us is accomplished. Well, now say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. I can but stress the point I made initially this morning. We all have a soul. And really, that's the most important part that should continually be under consideration if, through the mercy of God, we are being made wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Salvation from sin. Salvation from sin. Sin surely is our greatest enemy. And my friends, we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and we have to acknowledge that sin is an inclination in our nature that leads us more and more into trouble. But nevertheless, blessed be God, in the fullness of His knowledge and love and grace, He has provided a salvation to completely cover our need as sinners. Whatever we may from time to time reflect upon as sins grievously entered into and accomplished in years that are past, what a wonderful thing it is to realize the truth of God's word. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. One, the sweet psalmist of Israel, he cried out, remember not against me the sins of my youth. We might say in the maturity of sovereign teaching in our hearts that we see things in our youthful years committed in a completely different light from what we did when we were young. And we realize that though we may forget some things until circumstances bring them again to our notice, every sin that we ever committed is recorded by God, known to God, and according to God's holy law, indicted against us, would merit our departure from God into endless misery eternally. Well, now, what I want to come to this evening is this. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Only God is authorized, qualified to bring peace into a sinner's soul. Burying your head in the sand as the ostrich does, thinking that because we can't see, we're not seen, is a lie. Because God sees us and knows us altogether, he knows us just as we are. All things are naked and open before him with whom we have to do. And while you and I fluctuate, as it were, in our remembrance of situations, dispositions of heart and mind, places we may have visited which were no good to us, companions which we had that were more of a danger to us than a help to us. My friends, all those, what I might term negative considerations, it's all just as we are in the sight of God. Thou, God, seest me. But what a mercy when God sees and knows every transgression we've ever committed against him and the holy law that he has given for mankind. Nevertheless, in the provision of salvation, everything is accounted for. Everything is cleansed, made whiter than snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be made whiter than snow. There's not such a thing as a partial salvation in that sense, relative to the sins of the people of God. Though thy sins be many, they are all forgiven thee. Now, say unto my soul, sometimes it pleases God to send forth a direct word or communicate to our souls in the reading of Holy Scripture an indication that his mind toward us is so gracious as to take account of every sin we've ever committed in thought and word and deed. God blots them out. He blotteth out our transgression. He remembers the sins of his people no more forever. And the reason and cause of that absolute cleansing is the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing less and nothing else but the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can make a sinner clean. And that's why in our religious considerations we major so continually upon the sacrifice and offering of the Lord Jesus Christ for sin in the behalf of his people. If so be an attempt is made to remedy the situation, except by and through the blood shedding of the Son of God. It's a fruitless endeavour. Sometimes the suggestion is made, if only we reform and live, as it were, in more tenderness with respect to our conduct and conversation, matters would be made better. My friends, sin is such a staining, contrary thing that there's only one answer, and that is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a wonderful thing it is that God in heaven directs and appoints the mind and spirit of troubled sinners to an answer which is absolutely watertight in its efficacious ability to take the blackest sinner, the foulest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace. Christ's precious blood to plead. Oh, my friends, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Witness by the Holy Spirit that my sins, so great, so terrible in the possible consequences and under the broken law of God, nevertheless, God, against whom we've sinned, has provided a sacrifice in the person of his dear Son. Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Now say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. What position and place does the sacrifice and offering of the Lord Jesus Christ upon Calvary's tree play in your present experience and in your future prospects? If it were not for justification through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we may despair. Because the one and only remedy is in that great sacrifice made by the Son of God for sinners, and that is efficacious to the complete, perfect removal of every stain of sin that was ever incurred by transgression of God's law while here in the flesh. Not only sins committed, but even the thoughts of our hearts that are sinful and contrary to the will and way of God. But my friends, what I want to emphasize this evening, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. The gospel provides a foundation of hope. The gospel, as it is written in the scripture and as it is declared by the church and verified in the testimony of God from all angles, I say, speaks of a pardon for sin through that one and only sacrifice. He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. We're constantly slipping and falling, and this necessarily, I was going to say, in a daily need of repentance for our sins and shortcomings. Nevertheless, whatever the measure of condemnation is due to us, there is a complete, a perfect, an acceptable answer in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that righteousness which he provides for his people. And my friends, there is salvation there and there only. Now, some would suggest that Reformation, certain, as it were, activities and remedies applied to the way of life would be a change to merit God's favour. My friends, God cannot forgive sin except through the gospel of his grace, which holds forth at every turn the blood of the Son of God, by which is the remission of sin. That brings us to the question, say unto my soul, wash me, and I shall be clean. It's a good prayerful desire in the hearts of the children of God. I am black, says one, but comely. Black as the tents of Kedar, black as the Egyptian camps, but I am black but comely. Comely as the curtains of Solomon, those curtains that were beautiful and sufficient in the day of that king of Israel. Well, now, say unto my soul, to know that you're a child of God, to be concerned about being a child of God, using, as it were, the language of the text, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. To have that concern and exercise in your soul is really, in the truth of it and experience of it, a token of your interest in his great salvation. Christ, to an unregenerate soul, Christ to a person left ignorant of the gospel, is described like this. He is as a root out of dry ground, without form or comeliness. Then there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. What is the attraction, the superlative attraction that is held forth in the truth of the person, sacrifice and offering of the Son of God? It is that there God has provided an absolute remedy to sin's malady, and those washed in the precious blood of Christ and clothed in his righteousness are prepared to be in glory, free and full, pure and righteous before God forevermore. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And it wouldn't matter if 1,000 people, if I don't want to exaggerate too much, but if 1,000 people said, look here, it's all right with you, it's all right with you, things are right and you'll be all right when you come to the end of life's journey. And it was purely an utterance of creature opinion, natural judgment one toward another. My friends, that would carry an insufficient authority and weight to a needy soul made to feel their need as sinners before God. This communication that I speak of here this evening is from heaven to the soul of men. Say unto my soul, God, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. I want to know by the witness of God with my spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Saviour. My friends, one of the things that initially sets us seeking for an interest in that great salvation is when we're conscious of our exposure to the wrath of God. When we realise that if we die as we live, contaminated with all the sin that we've committed through our lives, we shall perish, and that forever. But if so be through the precious truth of the gospel as it is in Jesus, and Jesus washes us and clothes us in that necessary way, then we shall find our every sin and stain is taken from us and laid upon Christ to redeem us from all iniquity and to present us faultless before the throne of God forever and forever. And I can't say, I think they spoke of this morning, but I can't say that I can conceive any more happy condition and position than when God, by his Spirit, makes witness with our spirits that all that the gospel promises to be to a repentant sinner is made over to us, and we realize that Jesus is our Saviour, and Jesus will see us safely into the presence of God in glory evermore. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Now, various things bring comfort and encouragement to the Lord's people, and one of the ways is seeking witness of the Scriptures, that the characteristics which concern our soul's exercise are the exercises of godly people. And the Lord has left us a host of witnesses in his word of those who were partakers of God's salvation. And if I put that in the past tense, I can just as soon put it in the present tense, because what they were made by the grace of God, it may be thousands of years past, is their portion today, because their salvation is forever in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once in him forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. And what a wonderful thing when this expression of the text is the expression of your soul and my soul as we seek for the Lord in his holy word to seal that we're in the right way and that the exercises we're under are truly the exercises of godly souls, and being the companion of those that have feared God and do fear God, surely by God's grace we shall be in the same issue that they were in, who were taken home from to glory in generations past and are being ready and prepared for glory by the Spirit of God in their present experience. If you want to know regarding this question, say unto my soul, what a wonderful thing if the living God condescends to speak with kingly power into your heart that he has a favour of love and grace to you, and has indeed prepared a way by which you may come to him and abide with him in glory for ever and ever and ever. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Another means that the Lord uses in the exercise of his people is bringing them into points and places where the truth is set forth. And the ministry of the gospel, clothed with the power of God in heaven, is an answer to this petition. You come into chapel, you come into church, wherever, and the gospel is being preached, and the word comes to you with a singular authority, a power from on high. It's not just a minister speaking on a carnal level with a body of people in a congregation. Or when the Lord speaks, there's a power with it. You may have heard him say, heard the minister say the same thing a score of times. But when the Lord's time comes to say unto your soul, I am thy salvation, then there's a distinct, positive, powerful difference. My friends, can we be satisfied with listening to the preaching of the gospel with no further concern that God will speak to us through this ordained means? And I've got some witnesses here this evening, without question, that know what it is to listen to the truth as proclaimed from the pulpit by the servants of God that has carried the authority of God into their souls and brought a peace that is beyond our understanding. Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven you. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Another way by which we have an intimation of the favour of God to our soul is this: when the Lord answers our prayers, he brings us into situations that are very, very difficult. We cannot, as it were, see an answer to the problem. It may be in temporal matters, it may be in the concerns of family, it may be in the business, work, and way of life, and you come face to face with a situation, and that it's a very deep concern and trial to your soul, and you can't see a way through, and you can't see an answer in your own judgment of the situation. And you call upon the Lord, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will hear thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And my friends, you call upon the Lord, maybe in small, but nevertheless feeling necessity. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Here I am in a situation which is too strong for me, too difficult, too complicated to find any other answer. And you're shut into the Lord. And then the Lord condescends to hear your cry. And it may be from what the scripture describes, from the ends of the earth. You've got to the limit of your resources and you can't see any way forward. And then the Lord appears. And the Lord makes the crooked things straight and the rough place plain. The Lord that made a way through the Red Sea for the host of Israel as they were fleeing out of Egypt comes into your experience. You couldn't see the way forward. He makes a way where there appeared to be no way. He's given you an answer to prayer, which is through the merit of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name you pleaded for his help. And my friends, he sends help and he performs a deliverance for you. Now that's a token for good. I cried unto the Lord in my trouble, and he delivered me out of my distresses. Now that's say unto my soul, there's a voice in it. Answered prayer. Prayer given, prayer heard, and prayer answered is a token of God's gracious favour toward the souls of his people. Another thing is the wonderful working of God in the way of his leading. That is what I might term a providential overruling. That things develop in a very wonderful way, absolutely contrary to your preconceived ideas of the future. And you find in the ultimate that God has been working in a way and bringing to pass certain things, certain circumstances in your experience, which have what I'm going to refer to as the hallmark of heaven. He led them forth by the right way. The leading of God in the providence of life. The way that the Lord has, as it were, brought you into his will, as sometimes absolutely contrary to your expectation. You have to say, I never thought things would work out like this. I never expected a deliverance in this way and manner. But the Lord himself gives a sweet indication that your times are in his hand. And although his will is deep and mysterious, and you wonder whatever will be the outcome, nevertheless, in the outcome, you see very clearly that the Lord went before you, the Lord made a way, and the Lord provided all the means to the accomplishment of the gracious purpose that he had in view as he moulded and fashioned your experience for your spiritual as well as your temporal welfare. When we think of the opposition that David himself encountered, when we think of Saul and think of the hosts that Saul engaged to seek and to destroy David, and David may well have considered the relative strengths, and he got his little band of men, some 600, and they clave to him in a very supportive and, one would hope and believe, a gracious way. They were, their hearts were knit together. Nevertheless, there was King Saul with his thousands, determined to bring David down. And looking at the situation comparatively, we would say, well, it would be an easy matter for Saul to execute his determination, and there would be little chance of David finding a way of deliverance. But my friends, God was David's God. And if God be for us, who then can be against us? And when we find opposition, as David encountered, and threatenings, to realize that all that is against us is subject to the will of God. That nothing, overturn God's counsels and bring to nothing the promise of God to be with his people, to protect his people, to provide for his people, and to deliver his people. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. When God gives us miraculous deliverances in certain circumstances, surely it's a witness of his favour that our enemies are not suffered to gain the triumph over us, but with the temptation the Lord makes a way to escape, that we are able to bear it. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. God's wonderful overruling, guiding, keeping, and preserving power. The Lord's people, who is like them? Who can be compared to them? Surely a token of God's favour in a gracious and in a temporal guidance through the pilgrimage of life is indeed a great blessing. Happy art thou, O Israel, O people saved by the Lord. The happy lot of those that have God on their side, who through God's sovereign grace undertakes their salvation. Yes, look at the enemies in the face and say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? If God is our salvation, then even death itself will be a conquered foe, and it will be a means in God's good hand of bringing us into the experience of glory in his presence forevermore. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. My friends, these things are the source of real happiness, real pleasure, real comfort, real peace. And God bestows by his gracious leadings and teachings token of this inheritance being the portion of his people, a portion unknown to the world. They wouldn't live in that ignorance of God and of godliness if so be the Lord was working in their hearts his salvation. But they are a people separated, sanctified, justified, and to be eternally glorified. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And when we think of what is in prospect to the people of God, we look, don't we, as we go on through life, for various improvements, various developments that will, as it were, bring a measure of peace and quietness that perhaps we have known little over the past. Some people say, well, it'd be lovely when I retire because I'll have more time, as it were, to do the things that I want to do that I can't do while I'm engaged in business. But my friends, there cannot be the suggestion of a better improvement than when the Lord comes into the experiences of his people and takes them from time into eternity to be with him, which is far better. Far better. And you and I can't comprehend how far better. The Apostle Paul says to be with Christ, which is far better. Far better than any experience on earth is the experience of the saints in glory. What must it be to be there? No more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more change for the worse. Always maintained in the perfection of satisfaction and happiness forever and forever and forever. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. To die in the Lord and to be taken home to heaven. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Have you ever felt that in your heart? Have you ever been favoured by God's grace with that assurance of hope through the leadings and dealings of God with you, that you have that sweet persuasion that when you close your eyes on this world, it will be to open them in that incomprehensible, happy, holy bliss and blessedness with the saints, and above all, with God himself forevermore. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. The transcendent desire finding its expression in that wonderful subject of salvation, which is the root and foundation of all real religion. Well, now I draw to a close. My soul. There is such a thing as having the witness of the Spirit. There is such a thing as realizing the favor of God's grace and apprehending by faith the ultimate, He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. There is such a thing as having that experience and then coming again, as it were, into the very need through temptation, unbelieving fear, a sense of the power of sin. We have to realize that it's only the salvation of God in Christ that can deliver us from the consequence of every transgression. We come to the renewings of the Holy Ghost, to say again and again and again, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And my friends, if there's worth a prayer that's worth continual repetition as we go on through life's experience, surely is to be right with God. And if we're right with God, how wonderful is the prospect for us, not just for a period of time, but for eternity. Eternity. Never-ending eternity. I direct your thoughts to salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how God saves. This is how matters are put straight between sinful souls and a holy God. Christ, the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Salvation is a word that is of infinite value to the people of God, generation by generation, as they journey on. There's nothing that can be of more comfort, nothing that can bring a better prospect in view than to partake of the salvation of God in Jesus Christ. If you think of the word that Christ himself spoke, you're on a good pathway. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that seeketh findeth, and every one that asketh receiveth. And to those who knock, every one, the door is opened. My friends, salvation is the best prize that ever can be obtained, and that prize is obtainable to sinners as they look to, trust in, and seek for tokens of this great salvation that I've sought humbly and insufficiently, but I hope with a measure of authority to bring to you. If my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Amen.